First up is going to be Andy Hulting. He's the associate professor and extension weed management specialist in the Department of Crop and Soil Science at OSU. His responsibilities include statewide weed management support for agronomic crops, regional extension faculty, and helping the general agricultural industry throughout the state. Andy?
Okay, thanks for the introduction. Can you all hear me in the back? Is that okay? All right, very good. Well, good afternoon. It's always nice to be here with this group and report on some of the things that we're working on in the weed science program at OSU related to grass seed production. So mostly what I wanted to do here this afternoon was just have a discussion focusing on some of the research projects and findings that we're doing, and I'll keep my comments mostly limited to grasses grown for seed. So as you know, we work on a variety of crops, but I'll focus mostly on grass today and talk about things like clover at future meetings. And so probably some of the things that I wasn't able to be here yesterday, but probably some of the things that I'm going to talk about will dovetail with what Steve Salisbury said yesterday in his update on research and regulatory matters. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. So we have a number of ongoing research projects as I go up and down the valley and across the state. You've heard me talk about some of these projects. And so I'll just touch base with you on where we're at with some of these ideas, give you my opinion on how they might be useful to you for producing grass seed. And the first one there is we continue to work really hard on working on this POA species issue, both the annual bluegrass and the roughstock bluegrass. And one of the ways that we're doing that is to find replacements for Diuron in our carbon seeding systems. So we've got a number of projects. We've got many years of data now working with some of these alternative herbicides that would help us with the Diuron resistance issue. Things like rimsulfuron, pyroxysulfone plus flumioxygen or fierce, Allion, Bayer Crop Science is supportive of moving Indazaflam or Allion into the grass seed business. And just recently, in the last couple years, Gowan Company has showed a renewed interest in working with EPTC or EPTAM for uses in grass grown for seed. So a number of these projects are, we've got enough data now and they're in the IR4 process. We're moving to the, stage where we've demonstrated proof of concept, I would say, working on projects related to, tank mixes and with reduced rates of Diuron, tank mixing these products with curbs, some of those ideas. And I would say that we've demonstrated that all of these products would work in carbon seeding grasses. And we're at the point now where we have to just let the industry catch up and get these labels developed over time. And I think Steve talked to you yesterday about where we're at in that process. So I view my role as just keep, and our role at the university, just keep the data coming along, answer some of the technical questions, and work on getting these products labeled in grasses grown for seed. And so how we do that, just show you a few pictures and share a little bit of data with you. At our various research farms and out on growers' fields, we'll do carbon seeding studies, and we always try to make sure that we're testing these products on the problem species, including Diuron-resistant biotypes, and then we make the applications. And this is just some, it's older data now, but I'll share with you kind of why we're interested in these particular products. So this is Indazaflam or Allion. You can see the rate there and then the annual bluegrass control. In this case, we were interested in California brome control. You can see the diuron plus ethyl fumacate number there, 45, indicating that we are truly experimenting with this product on some resistant POA. And that's the kind of control and data that we've seen from a product like Allion. Of course, we're very interested in Fierce. One of the components of Fierce is pyroxysulfone. These are the data indicating POA activity from that particular compound in a carbon seeding system. So we have high hopes for that particular product. Of course, many of you are familiar with pyroxysulfone for use in winter wheat now, products like Zidua and Anthem Flex, those sorts of things. But we continue to work on it in grasses grown for seed. And then just some of the rimsulfuron data, similar data there. Or matrix, okay? So I would say, you know, with these particular products, with these particular projects, we've got excellent to good control with Indazaflam and pyroxysulfone on our resistant POA species, both annual bluegrass and roughstalk bluegrass. We found that crop injury to our perennial or tall fescue, whatever we're carbon seeding, increases with the increasing rate of these products and delayed seeding. So timing's gonna be important when we do get labels for these particular products. We've seen less efficacy with rimsulfuron in general, I would say, but we still, I think it would be valuable for us to have this particular product because it will control some biotypes and it will be useful in some fields. And in general, we've had really good crop safety with rimsulfuron. So, and like I indicated before, we're just now getting back into taking a look at EPTAM or EPTC for use in carbon seeding. And basically that work is looking at a number of different formulations of that product to maximize activity and crop safety. So we're not as far along as where we're at with these other products with EPTAM, but there is renewed interest on the part of Gallen to take a look at that. Some of the other work that we're doing is certainly to look at this suite of products in our established grasses. So once the grasses become established, looking at grass and sprout control and particularly perennial ryegrass and tall fescue. And then we've done a lot of work looking at grass weed control in non-carbon seeded grasses and also in spring planted grasses, primarily tall fescue and the fine fescues. And you can see the products that we're working with there. And I'll talk more about that here in a second. So as you know, we have a real gap, I would say, in our labels in grasses grown for seed that first production year, so in these spring planted grasses. So if you look at most labels, they indicate you know, that we can't do anything that first fall after seeding in the spring with these soil applied herbicides to get control of whether it's you know, POA or like this next slide, annual ryegrass and tall fescue. We can't use a soil applied product without that seed crop going through its first harvest. And I see that as a real problem, a real gap in our labeling in grasses grown for seed. So we've done a lot of work, I would say, in the last 2 or 3 years to see if we can address this issue and work on some label development to help us with grass weed management in that initial year of establishment for the spring seeded grasses. This is some data here. Again, sort of the idea would be looking at these products. This is Indazaflam, again, looking at it applied that first fall to a spring planted tall fescue stand. And you can see the annual bluegrass control there. And our standard in this case was Axiom, flufenicet plus metribuzin. So we're getting good control of the annual bluegrass at those particular rates. And this is data, same sort of situation. This is a numbered compound, but this was actually Fierce, that pyroxysulfone plus flumioxazin, where we were testing it in the same sort of situation. That first fall following a spring planting in tall fescue, and you can see the annual bluegrass control from the pyroxysulfone and flumioxazin. So just some photographs of that particular trial. This was the untreated control. You can see that we've the tall fescue is in the background there, and we've seeded some diuron resistant POA in the front, and then have a naturally occurring population of POA there in the front. And this is the, at this time it was a labeled compound, but this was the Fierce applied in that first initial year. And that's the type of control that we want to make sure that we can start to work on there. And here's that tall fescue stand again that's got the annual ryegrass problem. With a compound like Fierce, we can apply that in the first year and get that annual ryegrass cleaned out of that tall fescue, which I know is a problem for some of you. So basically, to summarize that sort of work, you know, we're looking at all the different products, we're looking at the different rates and timings in the fall with respect to the size of that spring planted crop and the timing of the first fall rainfall. I would say, you know, mid-September to mid-November, half an inch of precip, and we've done some timing studies. We need that application to be within, we need rainfall to occur within about 10 days of that application. That really maximizes our efficacy on getting these soil applied materials active in these spring planted grasses. And as I mentioned, you know, we're working on label development. So there is interest on the part of Bayer to work on an Axiom label for that particular use, and as the Fierce label comes along, Valent is aware of that situation, and they are interested in labeling for this particular use. So hopefully we're making some progress on this issue. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, of course, once you start using some of these newer products or change the use pattern of some of these more established products, all the technical questions start to arise. One of those is crop rotation and plant back restrictions. I'm always asked constantly, you know, how many months after you make an application can you plant XYZ crop? And oftentimes we don't have a lot of good answers for that. We're working on getting some answers for those types of questions with both Allion and Zidua. I'll say more about the Allion work here in a moment, but we're working on two different scenarios there, what I would call a failed carbon seeding scenario with Allion. Say you went out in October and carbon seeded perennial ryegrass with Allion, and for whatever reason, you didn't get stand establishment, so super wet fall, slugs take it out, those sorts of questions. How soon can you come back after making an Allion application to plant a different crop or reseed the grass? And then the other situation there or scenario would be, once I've applied Allion in established grass, what's my plant back restriction to another crop? And we're not as far along with that idea as the failed carbon seeding scenario, but I'll talk more about that in a minute. One of the things that we do have quite a bit of data was Zidua planting back following applications, normal application to a winter wheat crop. So if you make an October or November application of Zidua to your winter wheat, if you look at the label language on Zidua and Anthem Flex, they have 18 months listed to come back to grass seed production. Well, we know that's not the case from our experience, but we're trying to get some better results for that. So we've completed one study. We're repeating the same exact study there. And I would say that, you know, both grass and clover species have all established fine that following fall, following a normal wheat timing of Zidua. So it looks like we should be able to work with BASF to get those crop rotation restrictions pared down a little bit for the grasses grown for seed. And the way we do that is simply make an application, and then we'll go through the treated area and seed the various crops, and then take visual ratings of damage and establishment and those sorts of things. Here's the failed Allion carbon seeding results to date so far. So we've set this up. I've just listed some of the details there. We think the carbon seeding rate will be approximately about 1 ounce, so we've doubled that, so we have a 2x rate out there in the field. So we'd seeded that on October 8th. Then we came back in March, sprayed that out with glyphosate, and then started planting perennial ryegrass and spring wheat into those treated areas. Wheat is safe at the 1 and 1.5 ounce rates of Allion, so that's good news. We do have something that we could come back with. I know you're all really interested in growing spring wheat, but you know, we do have something that we could come back with in those areas if we had a carbon seeding failure. Probably less doable at the 3 ounce rate. We'd have seen some stand loss when we've tried to come back and plant redrill perennial ryegrass into those rates. So, you know, 1 and 1.5 ounces is gonna be pretty, it's a pretty stiff rate for perennial ryegrass at that particular timing. So that's something we'll have to watch in the future. Annual ryegrass, crimson clover, and winter wheat have since been planted in these plots, and we're taking a look at how those crops will perform following that sort of application timing. I'm not going to talk too much about this, but I just do want to mention a couple other ongoing projects that we've got started. Some of you know that I've been working on the annual ryegrass resistance issues pretty hard. I can report that we have a new master's student, Lucas, in the program. He's working with the samples that you have provided to me, so thank you for doing that. And by all means, if you have problem annual ryegrass biotypes that you're struggling to control for whatever reason, get a hold of us. Myself and Lucas would be very interested in working with those particular biotypes. So that's, again, work funded by the industry and work that's underway. And I know that many of you have heard Claire Sullivan talking about some of the work that we're collaborating on with her, mostly related to this row spraying idea in annual ryegrass. So that particular project is in its second year of data collection. So a number of trials out there in the valley, looking at alternative herbicides to Axium, Diuron, and glyphosate to work on both row creation and row spraying. So that data is coming along and something that Claire's been working with. I just want to end by, you know, talking about another issue, and it's already been brought up here this morning several times, and it's this issue of chemical drift, chemical trespass, how we can't afford to make mistakes. We're searching for non-volatile broadleaf weed control options all the time, and trying to reduce our reliance on some of the older phenoxy herbicides. And I think as an industry, we're doing a good job with that. We want to try to avoid situations where we know we've drifted onto sensitive crops. So, things like landscape, shrubs, the nursery industry, grapes, all those issues we want to try to avoid. One of the products that I'll mention that you may or may not be familiar with yet that you should consider if you're spraying next to sensitive crops would be saflufenacil. We've got a number of years of data now working with this particular BASF product. Little to no activity on grasses, non-volatile, extremely low use rate, and a good choice to use for broadleaf weed control in spring-seeded grasses. Here's just some data to bear that out from a small trial we did at the Hislop Research Farm. You can see 1 ounce of saflufenacil does a really good job on controlling a lot of our problem broadleaf weed species in grasses grown for seed. So just some pictures. This is an untreated plot in spring-planted tall fescue that can quickly turn into things that look like that. This is a Sharpen or saflufenacil treated plot. And the main thing I wanted to show you here was with these contact herbicides, timing is going to be critical. So if you're trying to manage a species like sharp point fluvellin, this is the size of sharp point fluvellin I want you to be using these particular products at. So when that sharp point is small, dime, quarter size, that's when you need to be making these applications, not once it gets big runners and is spreading all over the field. So in summary, I would say as an industry, I think we've done a really good job of developing these non-volatile options. We've got Callisto, we've got Husky, we've got Sharpen, we've got AIM, we've got the newer formulations of some of the older phenoxy herbicides like Latigo. So we have good tools, so take advantage of these products if you are spraying next to sensitive crops so we don't have any errors like was mentioned earlier this morning. Timing is going to be critical, so small weed size and the use of proper adjuvants with these contact materials is also critical for maximizing weed control. So if you haven't used these particular products in the future, that might be a sort of a change for some of you. So with that, I'll stop. I want to acknowledge Dan and Kyle and Carol, our group there at OSU, and certainly other OSU Extension faculty, Darren Walenta, Claire Sullivan, Nicole Anderson, have all been involved in these particular projects in some form or fashion. The Oregon Seed Council and our relationship with Steve Salisbury, and thank you for your continued funding and of research and extension, and all of you that I work with out in the field. So I'll stop there and I'll take any questions on weed control if you have them. Okay, thank you.